The communications came in on a narrow beam of discrete frequency aimed directly at the radio from above. The messages were closely guarded by the group and sensitive information was not released outside a trusted few until later. Then, just as he was closing down, he was interrupted and said, "We have just received an urgent message from Melka. It grieves me to have to tell you. It has now been confirmed that both Mangtun and Kul have lost their lives in battle over Kulders. During the last attack, they and many other gallant commanders were killed, and the toll of this last vicious attack is still rising." On that grim note, Voldar ended his transmission and was gone. 4 days hence, D-Day came for Galdonia, and Edwin and everyone were on tenterhooks. What was the outcome of the battle? What would be the consequences for Earth if the Confederation were defeated? On June 14th, 1970, more reassuring news came in Theformo for relayed radio broadcast from Melka. It was on the spot com Munich from the surface of Galdonia relayed by an advance called Asian outpost. On top of that came news that Weora had been injured in the battle. An unfamiliar voice, not previously heard by Edwin's Q group, started the recording by saying, "The transmission you are about to hear is a strata recording which has been made on the planet Galdonia. I have asked the commander who is receiving this on Melka to transmit this to you whenever it is possible to do so." Then another unfamiliar voice said, "Greetings from all Caldasian and Byraean personnel here on the Zur-face of Galdonia. We have good news for you. A large part of Galdonia is now in the hands of Caldasian and Byraean forces. Although many centers are spied by Galdonians, our forces have seized vital and strategic key points and the main communication centers. At last the tide has turned in our favor and good progress has been made in this futile and senseless war. Communications have been re-established with home and a flow of messages is now being exchanged. The Kul-Dajan ground forces here on Galdonia are being reinforced-set by more astral divisions and a battle is about to commence on and above the terrain. 3/4 of the planet has already been taken, but there is still a mound-ness region which stretches across the equator. It is difficult for Corinthian craft to maneuver here and it is tough going for the large ground forces using land vehicles." The speaker continued to give his impressions of the surface features of the planet. Most of Galdonia consists of vast wastelands and burning sand where temperature auto unbelievable heights during midday. Never, he said, had he experienced such scorching conditions before as on this bleak planet. Although there were some wooded regions, in part, very dense, the planet was largely desert. Their sun had plummeted below the horizon. "As I am making this recording," he continued, "it is dark. To my left I can see the glow of many fires in the distance. Another town has been attacked. In the dark sky, I can see blue-white lightning bolts striking unseen targets. Theseus sunray weapons being fired from Corinthians. Each time I see a bolt flashing and there are innumerable bursts." He shudder, wondering how many people are losing their lives. "For there is a Indus disintegrating energy in one of those bursts. And Galdonia has very densely populated cities. It is a C-GHT I had hoped I would never witness. Fortunately," he continued, "the majority of Gal-Donian cities have surrendered and there are only a few left still offering some resistance. Loss on both sides have been heavy. Many of our Corinthian craft have been lost as well as other Caldasian craft which went down in deserts. But Byron, the gallant planet which came to our aid, has suffered the heaviest losses on the Confederation side. I feel deeply sorry for all those who will never leave here. How much grief and sorrow this accursed planet has brought to Calders and the whole of the Confederation. For Edwin and the Q members, this eyewitnessed re-port from the surface of the aggressor planet was of immense interest. Particularly as there had been more than a hint that their greed and aggressiveness with its accompanying moral degradation had surreptitiously emanated many planets in the systems which had human life within them. Meanwhile, the communicator making the report paints soft-ed a bleak picture of conditions affecting the Confederate soft-nation forces. He was speaking from a position which was Dugin in the white sands of the vast desert. From this position, many of the sorties of the Confederation land forces were made. At intervals, they would leave in the direction of the remaining pockets of resistance. The stifling heat, the dragging gravitational load, added to Fettelmont. The rapid sunrises, immediately bursting forth radiation which reflected from the white sands of zenith, turned the desert into an oven with a blinding glare. There was uncertainty about the two Allies' support soft-in Goldonia. A few strangely shaped craft had been seen, but so far no determined effort had been made to rein soft-force Goldonia in its struggle. The Confederation kept an adequate task force in reserve in case the Goldonian allies decided to attack. The speaker described the unsoft-fortunate crash of Weora's personal spacecraft. 2 days ago, during a raid, Commander Weora's division encountered a larger-than-usual force of Gal soft-donian craft. Our commander's craft was repeatedly soft-rucked by rockets, which forced him to return to base with severe damage. We watched his craft approaching, and it seemed that he was having control problems. He passed the base and brought his craft down in the desert. But it came down with such force that there was an explosion, throwing it over on its transparent dome. Smoke poured out of vents and hatches as they were thrown open. Damn soft-age control vehicles rushed forward in an attempt to save the personnel and the craft. 3 crew members were killed. Commander Weora was fortunate to escape from the wreckage of the observation dome, which was des soft-molished in the violent overturn. The communicator continued by expressing his deep concern for their popular leader, who had to be evacuated to Colders. He had escaped with only a leg injury, which at first did not seem so serious, but later was found to be much worse. In the meantime, Volda had taken over from his old mentor and was in charge of operations on Goldonia. In closing his report, the speaker added of more personal observations. What a forbidding world this is. It is indeed the strangest planet I have ever set foot on, and the Goldonian way of life is very odd by our standards. Their dwelling places are cramped, overcrow soft-did and rectangular in shape. I have seen no double-stow soft-ride buildings at all, and the building methods appear to be very crude to me. There is an oppressive atmosphere over it. And with these last words, the message relayed from Goldonia ended. For the next fortnight there was no further news. Edwin and his group were hoping to hear more of Weora's progress, although it seemed that his injuries were not too serious. Then one afternoon a brief message came through his receiver. I am from the moon Thatabits Byron. I have been instructed to inform you that 3 days, 3 of your Earth days from now, you will receive a trans-soft-hyphen mission from Melka. 3 hours after your sun has set you shall receive a transmission. I will close now, O soft-hyphen pull of the planet Earth. I am a Byraean pilot. On July 1st, the transmission came as promised. It was a personal message from Weora himself. He seemed to be his old self. He started off with his usual greeting, full of charismatic charm. I am Weora. Greetings, my friends. It is wonderful to contact you all again, Elth soft-off. This time it is by means of a strata recording. Here I am, sitting beneath a beautiful tree in the Gar soft-den of my home on Colders. We have a large garden and there are trees and flowering shrubs. The grass is green and the birds are singing. It is a lovely day here, and as I look out I can see a lake with a picturesque island not far out. I am recuperating from injuries to my leg. Judging from his voice, Hesmt right. It was certainly good to hear from him again, and everybody gained a deep inner satisfaction as they list soft-tend, because he gave out a great spiritual strength and compassion when he spoke. He continued by saying that he had tried to send thoughts to each of the members of the Q group tell soft-pathically. Elizabeth, Edwin's wife, confirmed that she had received some very clear impressions. This is inter-soft-esting, taking into account the difference in space, time involved. During the past few cycles I have had the chance to relax and I have been thinking of you all a great deal. I have been concentrating on thought transmission or telepathy with each member of Cubase and I have re-soft-sent some acknowledgements in return. Especially you, Elizabeth. You have been uppermost in my thoughts with the birth of your daughter. I feel certain that we have been in communication as I was aware of your thoughts reaching my mind. I deliberately sent a thought pattern back to you describing the surroundings at the time. Yes, so much has happened since I last contacted you. The Confederation is no longer a Confederation of Peace. The ugly word wearis never rebody slips, particularly in Byron, Seton and Salamia, those gallant planets which assisted us in our struggle. We aura continued by outlining the war situation. He said that the greater part of Galdonia was now in conf-soft-aeration hands although there were still some isolated places of resistance. He mentioned that were allies of Galdonia, Sakirad and Banian Lo. It was the Sakiradians who had done all the fighting on Galdonia. Sakirad had already surrendered but the problem was Banian Lo. The Sakiradians are apparently a more evolved race much like the Caldasians although shorter in stature. They are unsoft-like Galdonians ho or copper-colored with long dark hair hanging to their shoulders. The Sakiradians are fair-skinned. They were the original civilizers of Galdonia but some time ago the Galdonians turned on them and forced their scientists to build missiles and other destructive weapons which were a latter used in this attack on Calders. They were also forced to make the germ weapons used against Calders. It would take a long time to recover from the infections and destruction, and now there were alarming food shortages. The other planets in the Confederation were providing massive aid to help re-soft-govery. We aura felt conflict was nearing its end and restoration could begin. There are no further attacks and Calders but the whole population was glad to have the renowned commander Zibo with his Cetonian 6th Division guarding them in case of enemy attack. The 6th is one of the mighty soft-est fleets ever to patrol those fields of space. We aura spoke of his successor in glowing terms. His admiration for Voldar was obvious, for despite the fact that Clive Een, his newlywed wife, had been listed as missing, he carried on as fleet commander in an exemplar soft-airy manner. We aura said that Clive Een's home on the Norse soft-thin side was struck many times by guided missiles. But officials have already been able to trace many of the missing people. Voldar says he is sure Clive Een is alive and well. We hope that he is right. I must close this recording for soon I must go to the nearby city to have my leg treated. It seems almost impossible that we have fallen victim to this cruel war. 18 days later, at 10:00 PM on July 18, Edwin received another relayed strata recording from Waysoft-Aura. After his characteristic introduction, he said, "My friends, it is 3 hours before sunrise here. I have not had much sleep because of pain in my leg. I am in my study and in front of me is a huge glass window looking out on the lake. It is cool and still here now. I find it difficult to describe this scene in your language. I wish you could witness this with me. All nature seems to be at rest. My wife and two daughters are asleep. On my left is my strata recorder which is built into the wall and the online illumination inside this room is coming from the red, green and orange lights of the instrument.